Continuing where we left off last week, we introduced the sugya of Berachas HaTorah. We spoke primarily last week whether Berachas HaTorah is a mitzvah min HaTorah, whether it's a mitzvah min HaRabbanan. Then we spoke about what the nature of Berachas HaTorah is. Is it more in the realm of Berachas HaMitzvah? Is it more in the realm of Berachas HaShavach? So now to continue the second half of Berachas HaTorah, so as we continue our general theme of brachas, particularly those brachas that are deraisa. So the question becomes, when we speak about Berachas HaTorah, what is the role of a hefsek play in terms of Berachas HaTorah? How many times must a person recite Berachas HaTorah? We know that hefsek is an important principle in the Chas Bracha. A person recites a bracha and then interrupts between the bracha and either the food or the mitzvah, or a person begins doing a mitzvah, begins eating a meal, and then has some kind of an interruption. So hefsek clearly is going to affect the Chas Brachas, and the question is, what role does it play in terms of Berachas HaTorah? So as sugi begins with the first of the Ramah Kamos, in Maseches Brachas, Lafid Aleph from Ebeis, Amar Vida Mashmul. Hishkim Lashanos, if a person wakes up early in the morning to learn, and he hasn't yet davened, Ad Shelo Kara Kriyashma, Tzorech Levarach. If he has not yet said Kriyashma, so then he is required to recite Berachas HaTorah. Mishakara Kriyashma, for whatever reason, he davened and hasn't started to learn yet, he davened and hasn't said Berachas HaTorah, Eino Tzorech Levarach. Then there's no need for him to recite Berachas HaTorah after he finished davening. Shekvar Nifta Be'ava Rabba, because he has fulfilled the mitzvah of Berachas HaTorah with the bracha of Ava Rabba. So here the Gemara is telling us that Ava Rabba can double as a Berachas HaTorah. Not only does one fulfill the mitzvah of Berachas Kriyashma, but it could also serve as a Berachas HaTorah. The reason being, because as we mentioned last week, even if Berachas HaTorah is a mitzvah min HaTorah, there is no nusach that's given min HaTorah. There is no text that's given min HaTorah. Just as we spoke about Berachas HaMazon in previous weeks, the Torah speaks in very general statements of Verachtas Hashem Elokecha, and the precise text is only instituted by the Rabbanan. So to over here, even if there's a mitzvah in HaTorah, Berachas HaTorah, it just means that you have to praise the Kodesh Baruch to some degree for the giving of the Torah. What's the difference whether you say Hashem Baruch Haban Mikol Amim, whether you say Avarabah, Tana Hashem Elokeinu, Baruch Haban Yisrael B'Yahav, it's all the same thing, it's all the same thing. So min HaTorah, one would fulfill the mitzvah with Ava Rabba, not only Torah, even Midrabbanan, one would fulfill the mitzvah with Ava Rabba. So there are two different tracks, two different ways to fulfill Berachas HaTorah, either through the text that we're familiar with, the 1, 2, 3 brachas that we recite every morning, or one could also recite with Ava Rabba. So if one already said Ava Rabba, then one would no longer recite regular, we would call regular Berachas HaTorah. So Tosfos on the spot in the second of the Maamar Kamos, and the Filal from Avei, Shekvar Nifta Be'Ava Rabba, Tosfos references Yerushalmi. Hadi Amrita Shekvar Nifta Be'Ava Rabba. The only time one can fulfill the mitzvah of Berachas HaTorah by saying Ava Rabba, that's only true of Hu Shashan Al Asar. That's what the Lashon of Yerushalmi is. Provided that he was shown, he learned immediately. Perish La'alt Shalom Mi'Abi Yisim Hakom. If a person says Ava Rabba and doesn't learn afterwards, so then Ava Rabba does not suffice for the bracha of Berachas HaTorah. So comes Tosfos and asks, "V'nishal Arav Ben Yitzchak." The Re was asked the following question: "Kegod Anu She'ein Alom DeMiyad Yachat Tfilas HaShachar Shanu Trudin V'Holchem Kach Below Limud At Emtzah Hayom Yoyser." You can see almost Tosfos almost feeling guilty. They say that, you know, after all, we daven in the morning and we don't learn right away, not necessarily. Sometimes it takes till halfway through the day, sometimes later in the day to learn a little bit of something. Am I ain't on a mevarchim Berachas HaTorah pamacheres? Kishu on a maschil luma. So says Tosfos, in effect, we are not yetzei Berachas HaTorah. If the Yerushalmi says that you have to learn in order to fulfill Berachas HaTorah, you have to learn immediately after reciting the bracha in order to fulfill the mitzvah, we don't do that. We recite Berachas HaTorah, either the formal Berachas HaTorah, whatever Berachas HaTorah we recite, and then hours could go on until we learn. So how come we suffice ourselves with such a shvach of Berachas HaTorah if it's not followed immediately by learning? So the Re responded, Lo kaim alon kaisi Yerushalmi. Very simple answer. We don't pass like that, Yerushalmi. Hayo v'gemara shalanu la'amro, v'ein tzach li'at alomayin. Says the Re, there is no such thing. There's no such halacha. It was Yerushalmi. But we have a rule. Whenever there's machlokes, the Bavli and the Yerushalmi, we always follow the Bavli. So here the Re claims that's the machlokes, the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. The only problem is, there's no machlokes. It doesn't say in the Bavli the opposite of the Yerushalmi. So that's where it gets a little bit tricky. So the Re is assuming that even though the Bavli doesn't say explicitly against Yerushalmi, Mistimas Abavli, from the fact that the Bavli in the entire Sugya Berachas HaTorah didn't quote this idea, there's no mention, there's no zecher of it in the Bavli, it would appear that it's in fact not true. And as a machlokes, the Bavli and the Shammai, we side with the Bavli. There is no such halacha. So the Ri says that's the first defense of why we recite Birchas HaTorah in the morning. We don't necessarily learn, and we're okay with that. The Ode, and Tosfos says one step further, three lines at the bottom. The Ode, Afidu lepi ha'Yerushalmi, Dafka av haraba, the law of the Ikar Baracha leBirchas HaTorah, the Ikar av haraba leKriyas Shema Nisgan. U'bishvil, he ain't on nifta beBirchas HaTorah, elam yum mod miyad, v'gam liyas es chadas. So says Tosfos in the second approach, when the Yerushalmi says that you have to learn right after Birchas HaTorah, notice that the Yerushalmi wasn't talking about what we call Birchas HaTorah. The Yerushalmi was talking about for that one person who wants to be Yotzei Birchas HaTorah with Av HaRaba, then and only then does the Halacha insist that you learn immediately. Why is that? It makes a lot of sense. Av HaRaba is not really Birchas HaTorah. Av HaRaba is a Birchas Krishma. You want to borrow it, you want to steal it, you want to use it and plug it in as a fulfillment of Birchas HaTorah, then that's not so simple. Then it depends on the context. So if you say Av HaRaba and then you learn, so then you can argue, okay, it's also serving as a Birchas HaTorah. But if you said Av HaRaba and you didn't learn, so then what kind of Birchas HaTorah is that? Then it's just a plain and simple, plain old Birchas Kriyas Shema. But, says Tosfos, when it comes to the Bracha V'Shachar Banu, it comes to what we say is real Birchas HaTorah. Birchas HaTorah is objectively a Birchas HaTorah. Whether you chose to learn or you didn't choose to learn, what's the difference? It's a Birchas HaTorah. In and of itself, it's a Birchas HaTorah. So then the whole Din of Yerushalmi wouldn't apply. So Tosfos has two different approaches now to defend why we have no qualms, we have no problems. We recite Birchas HaTorah, nobody's learning anything. We come back 2 o'clock in the afternoon, we open up our Gemaras, and everything's fine. So either because we reject the Yerushalmi entirely, we say the whole Yerushalmi is not true, well, we chisel away at the Yerushalmi to the point that there's almost nothing left of it. That the Yerushalmi was only saying that Svara that you have to learn right away, only if you're dealing with something which is not objectively a Birchas HaTorah. But when you're dealing with real Birchas HaTorah, then it wouldn't be true. Oh, we're going to get that. Very good. You're mechavet to the Beis Yosef's cash. We're going to get that in a moment. But if you continue on the end of this Tosfos, so Tosfos says in the second to last line, towards the end of Abirchas HaShabach HaBonu, Abirchas Lasek with the Beis Yosef, Shein Ika LeBirchas HaTorah, Pateres Kal HaYoyim, then there's no problem. You can make the bracha now, learn later, and no problems whatsoever. So it comes out that both according to the first defense of Tosfos and the second defense of Tosfos, there's nothing wrong with the quote-unquote practice that we do, at least that they used to do in the days of the Rishonim. They would say Birchas HaTorah and then not learn until hours later. Either because the Rishonim was rejected entirely, or the Rishonim was only talking about a very, very unique application vis-a-vis a non-real objective Birchas HaTorah. The question becomes, how do we understand Pshat? How does this make sense to us? That what Tosfos is telling us, according to both opinions, is that you can say Birchas HaTorah and not learn for hours, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's perfectly acceptable. How could that be so? So this probably is a throwback to what we spoke about last week. What is Birchas HaTorah? Is Birchas HaTorah fundamentally a Birchas HaMitzvah, or is Birchas HaTorah fundamentally a Birchas HaShavach? If Birchas HaTorah is fundamentally a Birchas HaMitzvah, it relates to the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, then it's very, very difficult to understand Tosfos. Imagine a person recites a bracha, the Shema Kol Shofar for 10 o'clock in the morning, and he doesn't come back to blowing until 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So there's no tziruf, there's no connection between the two. The guy's going to make a bracha laniach tefillin, and then he walks around for an hour, and he comes back, puts his tefillin on. So that's no good. There's a hefsek. It has to be a bracha. It has to be followed immediately by the mitzvah. But if you hold that Birchas HaTorah is not really a Birchas HaMitzvah, it's more like Reb Chaim used the phrase, it's a bracha on the experience of Talmud Torah, on the Chavtz of Torah, it's a bracha that relates as a general praising of a Kodesh Baruch with the institution of Torah, but doesn't relate to my personally learning right here and now, so then I can begin to understand that there's nothing intrinsically that requires Birchas HaTorah to be followed by Talmud Torah. If you want to use and you want to borrow a Birchas Kriyas Shema and plug that into a double as a Birchas HaTorah, so then I understand. Then it makes sense. The only way for that effect to take place is only if you learn immediately afterwards. But if you're using an intrinsic Birchas HaTorah, there's really no reason to have to learn immediately. So Tosfos kind of leaves us hanging. Tosfos seems to be assuming that lahalacha, we're not really that concerned with this. We really assume that that's fine, that a regular Birchas HaTorah would for sure be okay, even if one doesn't learn immediately. Our practice happens to be not like this Tosfos. Tosfos at the very end, we left that part out, at the end of the Tosfos, so Tosfos writes that their practice developed dafka to learn right after Birchas HaTorah, even though we're reciting the real Birchas HaTorah, and even though there's no real reason to learn right away, But Taisa says, "Afa b'chein the minigus to do so," and that's exactly what we do every morning. We recite Birchas Torah, and then right after Birchas Torah, we follow it with a whole series of Limud Torah. We recite some psukim, we recite a Mishnah. We want to cover ourselves on all bases, and we do get a little bit of learning in. But in terms of the ikik radin, so Taisa seems to assume that it's not really necessary, which again would lead us to believe that Birchas Torah is not actual Birchas Mitzvah; it's closer to the realm of a Birchas Shevach. But there is a question. Even according to this Rishami, assuming this Rishami is correct, that at least when you're using Ava Rabba as a Birchas Torah, you must learn immediately. So the Beis Yosef already was bothered with the question, what does it mean you have to learn immediately? Aren't you obviously learning immediately? Aren't you saying Kriya Shema? So doesn't that count automatically as learning immediately? So the Beis Yosef is not sure. So one answer the Beis Yosef writes is that in Ochinami, that if and when the person really said Shema, so then he learned immediately. So what's the Rishami talking about? The guy didn't say Shema. He said, for whatever reason, he went to take a walk. He didn't say Shema right away. So says the Beis Yosef, in 99.99% of the cases, so you will always have a built-in learning, and therefore the Rishami is not as meaningful as we thought it was. But then the Beis Yosef says, maybe not. Maybe when the Rishami says that you have to learn, the Rishami is implying that Kriya Shema doesn't count as learning. Why doesn't Kriya Shema count as learning? Because Kriya Shema is Kriya Shema, and learning is learning. Two different mitzvahs. When I say Kriya Shema, I'm not doing it here Mukhram Zuman Lakai Mitzvah Seshal Talmud Torah. I'm doing it B'Torah. It's Kriya Shema. So just because I'm saying Psukim, and it happens to be Psukim and Chumash, that's not really an act of Talmud Torah. I can learn the same Psukim. If I'm being Mavis Shed or Pashas Veschan, and I'm saying the exact same Psukim, that's called Talmud Torah. When I'm saying Kriya Shema, Erev Avoyker, that's not called Talmud Torah. That's called Kriya Shema. It's like Mashal Ma Davidama. There's a famous Gemara in the beginning of Maseches Megillah, where the Gemara says that Mevatlan Talmud Torah Kriya Shema Megillah. You're allowed, you're mechuyev to stop your Gemara, close your Gemara, stop your Seder, stop learning, to go hear the Megillah on Purim. So all the Achmarim Abad with the Kasha, what do you mean Mevatlan Talmud Torah Kriya Shema Megillah? When you're reading the Megillah, it's also Torah. The person opens up Megillah Sester and learns Megillah Sester. That's also Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah is only learning Shnei Melachos and Metalos. It's also Talmud Torah, learning Pesukim and Tanakh. So why does the Gemara use a Lashon Mevatlan Talmud Torah? What kind of Bittul Torah is it? So there are many, many answers that are given. So one of the answers that's given is based on what we just said, that if a person would sit down and learn Megillah Sester, for the purpose of this, in the middle of Chodesh Kislev, you'd open up Megillas Esther and read the Psukim as an act of Talmud Torah, that would be Talmud Torah. When you're reading Megillas Esther on Purim, that's not Talmud Torah. That's Kriya Shema. It's a very important mitzvah. It's even Doicha Talmud Torah, but don't misname it. Don't call it Talmud Torah. It's not, you're not learning Megillas Esther. You're fulfilling the mitzvah of Kriya Shema Megillah. There are other Acharenim who give a different answer. Other Acharenim say that it's called Mevatlan Talmud Torah Kriya Shema Megillah because Kriya Shema Megillah is very easy. It's not the most difficult sugya just to listen and pay attention quickly to the psukim. A guy's in the middle of learning a Taizen Yavamas and he closes Gemara to go learn something easy like to read a couple of psukim in Tanakh. So that's also again with Bittul Torah. Mevatlan Talmud Torah doesn't just mean that a guy closes Gemara and walks around tools and thumbs. If you could be learning with more depth, with more application, and you put your feet up and you read a nice story from the Megillah, that's also get a Bittul Torah. That's a very, very powerful shot, but we're not going down the route right now. So getting back to the story. So the Beis Yosef is not sure when the Gemara says, when the Rishami says that you have to learn right away, did the Rishami mean to say that Kriya Shema counts? And 99% of the time, that would be called learning. Or did the Rishami to say, no, that doesn't really count. So in Shulchan Aruch, in the third of the Mamakamos, so the Shulchan Aruch is not sure because he himself in the Beis Yosef wasn't sure. He presented as a suffix in Shulchan Aruch in Simin Mem Zayin Tzibches. Yesh l'stapek yisage b'kor Kriya Shema samach l'miyad b'li hefsek. We're not sure what Kriya Shema count as a learning immediately. V'lachein yesh lizor levarach b'chis atar kar ma'avas olam. Therefore, we shouldn't get involved in this. We shouldn't rely on Rav. We shouldn't rely on the Birchas Kriya Shema for Birchas Torah because it gets a little bit tricky because we're not really sure whether we could fulfill what the Rishami is saying properly. The other Rechem, later Rechem Emret, the Mishnah Berurah quotes a Levush that says that even according to that sign in the Beis Yosef that you have to learn right away, and even Al Atzah, the Kriya Shema wouldn't count, it doesn't mean to learn literally right away. That second, what do you want from the guy? He just said, he's about to say Shema, and says, wait a second, I got to take out my Gemara and start reading a Tosfos. You can't do that. you have to say Shema right away. So what does it mean you have to learn right away? So the Levush writes, as soon as davening's over. It means as soon as you finish Shema Nesra, whatever it is, maybe you have a second to learn something. So that's also called Shana Al-Asar. That's also called learning right away. So again, so we're not excited about relying on Avarabba for Birchas HaTorah, because you can run into the problem of this Rishami, but the Ika Mikra Din, it would work. Mikra Din, Avarabba, Vasolam, Meir, Vashachas would count as a Birchas HaTorah, provided that one learned right away. Either the learning is accomplished by the Kriya Shema, or even according to the Tzad and the Beis Yosef, if that's not acceptable, it would be accomplished by some other kind of learning afterwards.
What
so,
is the practice, though, that if you said Shema, at least the first Pasha in Kavanos already, so then that's Shema that he says by Avarabba, it's clearly not being said, it's
You mean if you had in mind to be Yitzhak already Kriya Shema beforehand? Okay, maybe. That's already a later minute, you know, the idea of saying Shema early. And the post came right. That's only if a person really thinks you can miss on Kriya Shema. If you don't think you can miss on Kriya Shema, then it would be almost counterproductive to do that, because then you're not getting Kriya Shema B'Birchos Seha. So it's not the greatest practice.
Why is the bracha on Torah? Why is it not at night? Then why are you doing it in the morning? After Shkia, I don't have like a new bracha.
Okay, we're going to get to what constitutes a hefsek in during the course of the day. We're going to see that as we develop the sugya. So again, so the first aspect of hefsek that we saw vis-a-vis Birchas HaTorah is a hefsek between the bracha and the initial learning. And Tosha said that it's not as serious a problem as we would have thought it is based on the Rishami. But now there's a whole other question about a hefsek relating to Birchas HaTorah. And that's the shal as follows. What if a person said a Birchas HaTorah, and he learned a little bit right away, and then he goes to work, and he comes back 2-3 hours later, and he has a little lunch break, and he wants to learn a little bit more, should he be required to recite another bracha? Do we say that a hefsek plays a role in not between the bracha and the initial fulfillment of the mitzvah, but during the course of the fulfillment of the mitzvah, during the course of the day, does hefsek change anything? So Tosfos in the fourth of the Rambam Kamos, so Tosfos writes in Brachas Yid Aleph Mabeis, Shekvan Nifter Be'Avarabba, V'yim Toimer, Ma'ishna Misukah, if a person makes a leisha b'sukkah at breakfast, and he has his breakfast, then he goes out, the sukkah comes back 3-4 hours later, he eats lunch, he has to make a new leisha b'sukkah. He goes out a couple of hours, comes back, he has to make a new leisha b'sukkah. If the person never leaves the sukkah, then you could theoretically make one leisha b'sukkah for the whole week. But if the person leaves the sukkah for a significant amount of time, he has to make another bracha. What's considered to be a significant amount of time? So there's a machlokes, the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah in general about mitzvos. If a person, let's say, is wearing his talus, and he takes his talus off for a short amount of time, must he make another bracha? A person is wearing his tefillin, takes his tefillin off for a short amount of time, must he restart another bracha? So there's a running machlokes in all of mitzvahs between the Mechaber and the Ramah. The Shulchan Aruch's opinion is that anytime a person stops doing a mitzvah in the middle and he continues, even if it was a short break, he has to restart another bracha. And the Ramah says that's not true. The Ramah says there's no such rule. The Ramah says the break has to be significant. Then and only then do you recite a new bracha. Where does that machlokes come from? So the Gemara tells a story in Masechet Sukkah that Rabbi Yehuda Anasi was suffering from a stomach ailment at the end of his life, and he was having difficulty with tefillin. He put his tefillin on in the morning, he was feeling all right. Then during the course of the day, he wasn't feeling well. He'd have to take his tefillin off and go to the bathroom. And then he'd feel better, he'd put the tefillin back on again. And then 2-3 hours later, he'd have to take him off again, back and forth during the course of the day. He would try to maneuver that he would have his tefillin on at the right times and take him off when he felt he had to do so. So the Gemara says that every time he put his tefillin back on, the Gemara records that he used to make a new bracha. So the question is, what conclusion can we draw from that Gemara? So the Shulchan Aruch says that you see from that Gemara that any time you stop a mitzvah in the middle, you start again, you have to make a new bracha. It doesn't say how long you went to the bathroom for. So even if it's a short amount of time, you have to make a new bracha. So there are more rights. No, that Gemara is the exception to the rule, not the rule. Because tefillin is different. Because tefillin, you have to take the tefillin off when you go to the bathroom. It's not that you have a choice to take them off. The halacha requires you to take it off. So once the halacha requires you to take it off, that's an objective hefsek in the mitzvah. That's an automatic interruption of the mitzvah. Because even if you wanted to, you wouldn't be permitted to wear tefillin in the bathroom. So therefore, when you put them back on, when you come out of the bathroom, you must make a new bracha. But let's say a person takes off his tefillin, not to go to the bathroom. He takes off his tefillin because then he wants to walk around outside for 2 minutes. So he theoretically could have worn his tefillin. So comes the Shulchan Aruch and says, doesn't matter. You took the tefillin off. Doesn't matter how long. You have to make a new bracha. And the Ramah says, no. When you take them off to go to the bathroom, you have to make a new bracha. You take them off because you want to go across the street, you don't have to make a new bracha. Or let's say a talus. A person will take a talus cut, a talus gadol. You take your talus off for a short amount of time. So Shulchan Aruch says you have to make a new bracha. The Rambam says, no, you don't have to make a new bracha. Nobody told you to take them off. Let's say a guy takes his tzitzis off to go run to the shower for 2 minutes. And he puts them right back on afterwards. So according to the Shulchan Aruch, you have to make a new bracha. According to the Rambam, you don't have to. With such a short amount of time. If a guy takes them off for 2 hours, whatever, a long, long period of time, it's always hard to put a number on how long is long. When you put them, take them off for a long amount of time, then you would have to make a new bracha, even according to the Rambam. When you take them off for such a short amount of time, unless it was tefillin for the bathroom, then there's no reason to make another bracha. So when it comes to sukkah here also, the same rules follow. A person's made a leisha b'sukkah, he's sitting in the sukkah, and then he leaves the sukkah for a few minutes, he comes right back. So we follow the Rambam, there's no need to make a new bracha. It would be a bracha l'batal to make a new bracha. But if a guy leaves the sukkah for a few hours, he goes, takes his kids to Six Flags, and he comes back 10 hours later. So of course he has to recite a new bracha according to everybody. So Tosfos asks, how come when it comes to sukkah, v'yom toimer, back to the Tosfos, my shlomish sukkah, shetzorach levracha kol su'udo su'udo leisha b'sukkah. Whereas by Birchas HaTorah, you don't have to do that. By Birchas HaTorah, if a person made a Birchas HaTorah in the morning, he learns a little bit after Birchas HaTorah, then he goes to work. 12 o'clock, he learns the Fiyomi during lunch. He doesn't make a new Birchas HaTorah. Then he goes back to work at 3, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So he pops in a Torah CD or something. He's listening to a Shia. He doesn't have to recite a new bracha. He comes at night. He goes to Shia at night. Doesn't have to recite a new bracha. So how come? How come when it comes to Sukkah and Tefillin and Tzitz, all the other mitzvahs, if you interrupt in the middle, it warrants a new bracha? Whereas Torah, there doesn't seem to be any consideration of a break. So it comes to us and says, V'yesh loimar, the shiny Torah, she'enu miyayish daito. So by Torah, there's no hesech hadas. There's no interruption. Why is that? Because you never really lose, at least you shouldn't, be losing sight. You shouldn't be forgetting about Torah during the course of the day. D'chol sho'a d'b'chuyiv lomod. A person, in theory, has to learn all the time. D'chsiv ha'v'gis b'yom v'layla. All the teretz is that the mitzvah of Talmud Torah applies when a person has the available time. So kol zman that a person is doing something that's productive, that the Torah permits him to do. So the Torah permits you to eat, the Torah permits you to sleep, the Torah permits you to spend time with your family, the Torah permits you to go to work. So whenever you're doing things that are within the realm of what the Torah acknowledges are sufficient tzrachim, so then you're allowed to theoretically take off once those tzrachim no longer apply. Now it's lunchtime, now you're sitting in traffic on the way home, now you're at night, your kids are asleep, so now you have time, so now every Jew becomes chayv in the midst of a gisav yom v'layla. Oh, we're going to get to the, okay, we're going to get to, we're going to get sleep, maybe a whole new ballgame, right? We're going to get...
In the
yeah, okay, so we have to first let's figure out what the normal rhythm is, then we'll talk about the people who are off the normal rhythm. So we're getting there. So Tosfos is talking first about the regular people. So he's talking about the Balabatim. Tosfos is talking about a guy, remember Tosfos said before, he doesn't learn until Chatzos or afterwards. So he learned a little bit in the morning, he went to work for a few hours, comes back, he's constantly learning, working. So Tosfos writes that there's no need to make a bracha, because there's no Hezchadas. V'avikubo yeshiv kol yom v'lehefzik. V'alachid b'suri yeshok kavua. When it comes to eating in the sukkah, so you eat breakfast 9 o'clock, and then you leave the sukkah. I'm not mukhif to run back. I only have to run back to the sukkah if I want to eat in the sukkah again. Nobody eats till 12 o'clock. So 12 o'clock, it's a new bracha. Then the guy leaves the sukkah, comes back at 6 o'clock for dinner. So that's a new bracha. At 3 o'clock in the afternoon, he wasn't thinking about the sukkah. Because at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, he wasn't eating. Mashenke, when it comes to learning, there's no such thing as a Jew losing sight of Libra Torah. So I always quote that this Tosfos, you could say a Musa Shmuz on this Tosfos. This is not just a halacha statement. This is a Musa statement that Hilchas Talmud Torah, Hilchas Birchas Torah, is predicated on the assumption that the person is never Mesiach Das from his Libra Torah. The Beis Yosef quotes another approach, which is also equally as powerful in terms of Musa as well. The Beis Yosef says, not just is there no Hesch Das, because the person's always thinking about when is he going to come back to the Beis Medrash, but even when he's not technically learning, a Jew, an observant Jew, is always thinking and learning. What does it mean you're always thinking and learning? You don't even realize how many decisions you make based on Talmud Torah during the course of a day. Even if you're not sitting in the Beis Medrash, a guy goes to work and he takes a snack, He's looking at the food. Ooh, what bracha is this? It's bezanah shahakob. So he's constantly in thinking. Oh, he just chaz ruchos brachas. It may have been subconscious chaz ruchos brachas. He has to go to the bathroom, and then he has to figure out. Oh, make an ashiyotzi. He doesn't make an ashiyotzi yet. He forgot to make an ashiyotzi. Make another one now. He's always thinking. He's involved in. Say he's a doctor, and a medical issue comes up. Wait a second. Not so simple. Can I be involved in this procedure? Am I allowed to do this? Is this a halachic problem? The guy's sitting in his office in business. Am I allowed to lend this money? Is this ribis? Is this not ribis? Do I have hetriska? Do I have hetriska? These are constant things that come up. So you're right. It may not be the formal limud Torah. He's not sitting over Tosfos for 3 hours. But a Jew is always thinking. They're always shy. There's always pieces of Torah that are coming in and out of his head. So some basically say, right, that's also considered to be a chelik of Talmud Torah. And therefore, it never really is an actual hefsek. So whether you like Tosfos' approach or the Beis Yosef's approach, basically what we're saying is that Birchas HaTorah is not subject to the regular rules of hefsek because there is no formal hefsek like there is by perhaps other mitzvahs. But as Chaim points out correctly, but wait a second, sometimes there is a break. Sometimes there's a real break. Sometimes there's a real quick break. For example, a guy in Mamash goes to sleep. So let's say a guy takes a good Shabbos nap. He takes a long Shabbos nap. We used to joke about, we used to call them the fleshig milchik naps. It means you go to sleep fleshig, wake up milchik, and you're not a yeke. So that's a good nap. I tell you, halavai, I got night sleeps that were fleshig milchik naps. So comes the Shulchan Aruch, and the fifth of the Rambam comes, and quotes the Machlekes of Rishayim, and Siv Mem Zayin, Sifyid Aleph, Shenas Keva Bayoyim. The guy takes a Shenas Keva. So Shenas Keva, in contrast to a Shenas Aroy. Shenas Aroy means he's sitting in the base medrash and his head falls down. That's a Shenas Aroy. Shenas Keva means he goes to bed, gets the pajamas, whatever. He goes and lays down in bed for an hour. So Shenas Keva Bayoyim Amitah. Say, Havi Hefsek. So the first opinion in Shulchan Aruch is that is considered to be a Hefsek. That is for sure considered to be a break. Because one could argue that all those svaras that Taisus and Beis Yosef gave don't really apply for a guy sleeping. It means the guy, he's sleeping. So he's sleeping, he's clearly not learning right now. He's sleeping, he's not thinking, he's dreaming. He's mamash dreaming in Torah. That's already a whole other level. I saw that in the famous Rashi, close to the beginning of the Pasha, Vayishkavu Makom Ahu, that Yaakov Avinu didn't sleep for the last 14 years. He was in Yeshivas Aver, he was sitting and learning 14 years. He didn't sleep, he didn't fall asleep for 14 years. So obviously, it's impossible to understand that Kipshuta, he never slept 14 years. The Gemara says that if a person takes a Shavua, they're not going to sleep for 2 days, so that's called a Shavua Shav. I mean, it's impossible. It's physically, you can't sleep, you can't not go to sleep in 48 hours. So what does it mean, Shalosh Shachav, for 14 years? So the Balaturim, if I'm not mistaken, Balaturim says on the spot, that means that Yaakov Avinu, even when he was sleeping, he was dreaming in Torah. I mean, he was out for 14 years. That's why it wasn't such a chiddush. If you dream about Torah for 14 years, then you can dream about a Sula, Mutzavar, some Rosh Hashanah, Shemaim at the end of the 14 years. So he was sitting, he was sleeping and dreaming about Tzaisim, dreaming about Mechaz Chinuch, dreaming about Rav Chaim for 14 years. But most of us, I'm not sure, can say that. So, myself included. So, therefore, for us, a Shena is really considered to be a Hefsek in Talmud Torah. So, that's what the first day in Shulchan Aruch says. You would have to make a new Birchas HaTorah. V'yesham Golavi Hefsek. And there are others who say, no, it's not considered to be a Hefsek. V'chei Noagu. And Shulchan Aruch writes that that's what the minig is. So, the Mishnah Berurah quotes many Achronim who think that's not a correct minig. You really should make another Birchas HaTorah. But the minig still stands. I think that the overwhelming majority of people don't make a new Birchas HaTorah, even though they took a good nap during the course of the day. What's interesting, the Poskim point out that, let's say a person took a good nap, and he wakes up, goes back to the Beis Medrash. Is there any way to rectify this child? Is there any way for him to somehow get around this child? He doesn't want to make a bracha, suffering a bracha levatala, but it bothers him, he feels guilty about his learning without making Birchas HaTorah. So maybe he can at least solve half of the problem from Davri Ma'ivan onwards. Because remember we learned before that Ava Rabbah can count as a Birchas HaTorah. So the post came right, if Ava Rabbah counts, Avas Olam counts also. Same, it's a little shorter, but same basic bracha. So maybe if a person recites Avas Olam, so he took his nap from 2 to 3, so now he goes back to the Beis Medrash, but he davens Ma'ariv at 5 o'clock. So when he davens Ma'ariv at 5 o'clock, when he says Avas Olam, so then he's Yotze technically Birchas HaTorah. So according to those who say that he had to make a new Birchas HaTorah, so he taka made a new Birchas HaTorah. The only thing is, remember the Rishami. The Rishami says that you have to learn right away. So he didn't learn right away. Or maybe he said Kriyashma right away. But the Beis Yosef wasn't sure. Shulchan Aruch wasn't sure. Maybe that doesn't count. So what would we recommend this guy to do? This poor fellow, he took his good nap, and he feels guilty now learning for the next, he wants to go to the Beis Medrash to learn Night Seder. He's ready to plug away for the next 3 hours, but he's trying to figure out an Eitzah, how to get around the lack of Birchas HaTorah. So what we would tell him to do is like this, say Ava Osolam, have in mind Ava Osolam, the Ibn Yotzei Birchas HaTorah, and as soon as you finish Davni Meir, you finish the Shmon Esrei, say a few Pesukim, say something, say a Pasuk, say a Divrei Torah, say something, so that way, at least you have the bracha b'avos olam serving as your birchas haTorah. So even according to the first day in Shulchan Aruch, that your sheinus kevel was considered to be hefsek, so then you could be yaitse at least with avos olam. So it's not such a bad eitzah. So that's usually what I do. Whenever I take a nap during the course of the day, so then when I daven ma'ariv, so I always have in mind, in case I need birchas haTorah, I should be yaitse birchas haTorah. And right after Ma'ariv, when I finish my Shmoneh Esrei, so I say a pasuk and short. So that way, at least according to Yerushalmi, so one would be covered by this Birchas HaTorah. So Kol Panim, well, up until now we've been talking about the normal routine. The guy who's going to sleep, in theory at night time for the whole night, but every once in a while he takes a nice little nap in the daytime. The problem becomes much more complicated when you have a person who's coming and going all the time. So when do we say that that's considered to be sleep? So the Mishnah Berurah writes that b'medvar memurim there's a machlokes about if a guy takes a serious nap, whether he has to make a new birchas haTorah. That's if the nap is during the daylight hours. But if a guy takes a nap at night, let's say a guy lays down in the middle of the night for a half hour, so the Mishnah Berurah thinks everybody would agree that requires a new birchas haTorah. So there are some who say that's true if the person wanted that to be his sleep. But let's say a guy, he really is not ready to go to sleep. He really, Dafka, does not want to go to sleep. The most common application, this is Shavuos night. So a lot of us will lay down for a few minutes after Meir before we go run off to learn. But I don't even take my shoes off. I mean, I'm laying in my suit. I mean, I know I'm going to go. I have to go. I have to go stay at 5 hours of shiurim that night. So I know I'm not going to sleep for the night. So maybe one could argue that's not even a shenis, Kevin Belila. Maybe it's a good 45-minute nap. Aval bichein, that's not considered to be enough of a shenis, perhaps, to require a new bracha. So this gets very, very tricky. There is a flip side shaila, a birchas haTorah. Up until now, we're talking about a guy who's took a good nap, but it's still the same day. What if he hasn't slept at all, and now it's the next day? So that means he was up the entire night, the same Shavuos night shaila. So that's the flip side shaila. So we're not sure about that either. We're not sure whether he recited a new birchas haTorah. That's why our practice is that we try to get somebody who actually did sleep to recite the new birchas haTorah on our behalf. So that's the optimal way of doing it. That's what most shuls try to do Shavuos night. You try to find either some guy who mamish went home to sleep, or some guy who was out cold for all the shiurim, so he had a good solid shenis kevah that night, so maybe he can recite the birchas haTorah. If all else fails, if we can't find somebody, so as we say, try to find the Sfardim, because the Sfardim generally do recite a new birchas haTorah the next morning, even if they were up the entire night. So remember one year in yeshiva, we couldn't find somebody to say birchas haTorah, but there was one fellow who was a Sfardi, he said, he'll be the one, even though he didn't sleep, he'll volunteer to say birchas haTorah for everybody. You mean the same thing. The same question is, do you run into that same Beis Yosef's problem that I'm not doing it to learn Torah, I'm doing it for Kriyas HaTorah? Is the Takaras Chacham of Kriyas HaTorah just Limud HaTorah? Keep in mind, this is the... Yeah, yeah. I would say it would be easier just to tell the guy should just say, V'dav Shema Shalem, or after davening, it'll be faster. I don't know. But there is an interesting thing that's emanating from this whole sugya that tells us, quote, Rishalmi, and we even sometimes plug it in Lamaisa to use Ava Rabba. If you think about it, Ava Rabba is really a very, very strange Birchas haTorah. Because Ava Rabba doesn't really spell out the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. It speaks about a lot of other very, very beautiful things. You know, Ava Rabba, Avtara Shemakein, Avchem Magda, if our name is Hosef, and Avalim is Hosechem. But it doesn't have almost the magic words of Shekin Nishanam Mitzvah Sivan Alasu Dvisoran. It doesn't have the main theme of Birchas haTorah in there. So what is it about Ava Rabba that makes it such a potential substitute for Birchas haTorah? So I thought that maybe one can understand this as follows. There is a Sefer Egle Tal, it was written on Hilchos Shabbos by the Avnei Nezib and the Sakach of a Rebbe, where he points out that the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is different from other mitzvahs in the sense of other mitzvahs. If I enjoy the mitzvah or I don't enjoy the mitzvah, it's the same mitzvah. Now again, he was Hasidish, so he wasn't advocating not enjoying mitzvahs. But if a person puts on tefillin with a big smile or without a smile, it's the same kiyum mitzvah. Obviously, if there's a shem simcha, obviously it covered a mitzvah. Of course, we're going to encourage people to do mitzvahs with a smile, to enjoy what they're doing. There's no question about that. That's a sign of a healthy, wholesome Avedas Hashem. But in terms of the pure mitzvah itself, it doesn't really make a difference what your mood is. I'm yetzir a mitzvah in a good mood or a bad mood. But, says the Eglei Tal, he thinks that Talmud Torah is different. If a person learns Torah and really is miserable about what they're doing, so he thinks that's a chisaron in Talmud Torah. That part of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is not just to go through the motions of studying, but the enjoyment, the delving into the being osik in Torah, mitoch enjoyment, mitoch simcha, that's part of the key of Talmud Torah. A person, he gives a mashal, a person shouldn't think that I'm learning Torah and I enjoy it so much, oh no, that's shelo lishma. So let me really, really hate what I'm doing and really do it lishma. Says, no, that's not true. He says the greatest lishma, the more joy, the more lishma there is. So it's interesting that in the even within the bracha, Birchas HaTorah, this idea seems to be expressed, because right smack in the middle of Birchas HaTorah, we say, v'harav nashem lakeinu, please Hashem, let us enjoy Torah. It's a very, very strange bakasha to put it into the bracha about Birchas HaTorah. When I put on tefillin, so I don't say to Rabbi, please let me have a great time. When I eat matzah, please Hashem, let me really, really get a geshmak out of this matzah. When it comes to Talmud Torah, so you mention the fact that you want it to be an avayda shebesimcha, v'harivna, because that is goof for part of the kiyum of Talmud Torah. So maybe that's why Ava Rabba is all right. Ava Rabba, even though it doesn't speak about the technical aspect of Asher Kiddushah, the last thing with the Vesera, but it has all the makings of Ava. Ava Rabba. The word Ava, the word love, is such an integral part of Birchas HaTorah that it can go for certain, it can double as Birchas HaTorah. So I didn't say Baruch Hashem no sin of Torah. I said Habaycha Biava is Biava. Where's the Torah? So the answer is Biava. Means because Ava is an integral part of Limud HaTorah. So maybe that's the why, and to be derech hadrush a little bit, why there is a connection between the bracha of Ava Rabba, of Absalom, and the bracha of Birchas HaTorah. Even though it's not technically the same nusach, but the theme is so close to one another that one could actually double, one could actually serve as the substitute for the other. So I hope we had, between last week and this week, a little bit of a better understanding as to the nature of Birchas HaTorah, being Baraisa the Rabbanim, Birchas HaShevi, Birchas HaMitzvah, what role Hefsek has, how this plays out for us, Lamaisa. Hopefully we'll share it next week, and we'll try to continue with other sugyas in terms of Chas Brachas. Okay. Just as a question, next week, will Olam be around next week? So there have been some years that we haven't had the shiur, some years we had, depending, I think, on weddings and other people's schedule. So will there be people around? Most people will be around. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we don't need the contrary. Okay.
Daytime.